free. That's right, kids. It's a free video, 15 Obstacles to Success. All you got to do is plug in your email address in that little box right below where it says free video, 15 Obstacles to Success. Hey, the website is BulaNetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. The city is Dallas, Texas. And this is the Ellis Studio. Stay tuned for the show coming up next. This is a special episode of BulaNetwork.com. Hey kids, Randy Cantrell coming to you from the Ellis Studio. A special episode, that means it's a non-numbered episode, BulaNetwork.com. I want to talk to you about systems, processes. Most everybody believes that they need one or more. Some people believe that they have to have them for everything. I don't know where you fall in one camp or the other. Now, as many of you know, I'm a hockey guy, and in hockey there are what are called systems. And these systems are, well, these are schemes. These are strategies. Some of these are offensive. Some are defensive. Most teams, especially in the professional ranks, they play a system. It will consist of, for instance, the first player to go into the other team's zone to put pressure on them as they're carrying the puck. And systems in hockey really have to do with positioning of players and in various circumstances and scenarios. I mean, think of it this way. When the other team does this, then our team will do that. And it's pretty much how system coaching in hockey works. And in our businesses, it works very much the same way. We think about scenarios and situations, and we think, well, okay, when this particular thing happens, my response or our business's response will be X. And when somebody does this, then our response will be Y. Now, there are occasions where I run across people who are very opposed, for whatever reason, they're very opposed to systems. They're very opposed to this systematic approach. Some people feel that it can diminish the relationships, and it can hinder building, strengthening, deepening those relationships. Now, do you believe that? There are people who do. I don't happen to be one of them. Now, I do believe that we can be so deeply entrenched in our strategies, our systems, our processes that we do get callous. I've seen that happen. But quite frankly, I can't fault the system or the fact that you implement processes into your business to handle a variety of different things that the system is at fault. I think more appropriately, the people are at fault because it's people who let down other people. Okay, sure. Sometimes a system can fail. Just earlier this week, I had a piece of gear go down, heaven forbid, here in the Yellow Studio. And while the gear that I have is good gear, but occasionally stuff happens. So I do what most of you do. I go onto the website of this particular manufacturer. I'm looking in their troubleshooting section. I'm looking at their knowledge base to see if I can find anybody or anything about this particular. It was a pretty quirky problem. Couldn't find anything. Absolutely nothing about it. So I submitted a trouble ticket Now, this piece is, it's out of warranty, but, you know, I still, hopefully I can have it repaired for far less than what it would cost to replace it. So I submit this trouble ticket. Now, I probably, you know, I probably do what you do, especially when we're antsy. When we've got a problem, you know, we want helicopters to immediately descend over our house and, you know, Navy SEAL teams to just descend and fix us, take care of us. Well, no, we don't want to be taken care of like Osama bin Laden, but we want our problems fixed. We don't want a bullet in our head. Well, I did what probably you do. I immediately got an email, this auto-generated thing, you know, that tells me, okay, we got your ticket. Well, that's a process. That is a system. That is a system that this manufacturer has put into place so that the minute that you hit submit on submitting a trouble ticket, and of course, you and I both know, before you can do that, you have to log in to the website. And in order to log in, you have to first register. And what registration requires is your name, an email address, phone number, a variety of other things. And until you register, you are not able to submit any kind of a trouble ticket, nor are you able to make a phone call to technical support. So that's part of their system. Part of their system is we're going to require you to register. And part of that registration is going to be this information that we want. Now, the second part of it is we're going to require that if you haven't already registered your piece of hardware, then you're going to have to do that too. Well, as it turns out, I hadn't. So I, and of course my gear's rack mounted, so I had to take the piece of gear. And of course, you know, they can't put the serial number on the back of the unit where I could maneuver my rack so I could look. Now, I did. Nothing. Yeah, it's on the bottom. That's the perfect place for it, you know, when you're rack mounting your equipment. You want to put it underneath or on top of the unit or on the side. You want to put it somewhere where you must remove it from your rack. How do I sound a bit miffed? Yes, I was. So I unhooked the gear, took the four screws out that hold it in the rack, had to stand on my head and get somebody to write down the serial number as I read it off to them. So I did that. Well, that's part of the process. Part of the process with this company is in addition to you registering, you must also now register your equipment, including the serial number, date of purchase, and all that good stuff. That's before you can submit a ticket. Well, okay, that makes perfect sense, really, doesn't it? It makes sense that there is some kind of proof of purchase and that they have an idea. They know what you have. They know the serial number, which gives them some idea in their database. Did we have any kind of issues with a particular run, a particular serial number sequence of these things so that we know if somebody reports something, what to say? It may not have been something terrible. It may not have been something that even remotely warranted a recall, but these things happen. So makes perfect sense. Contact information, a way to communicate back with a customer. Hence, we require that you register. Makes perfect sense. That's a system. Now, we can sit here as customers and think, well, we just want to make a phone call and, well, okay, that's fine. Make the phone call and you know what's going to happen. Yeah, they're going to run you through all kinds of hoops. They're going to have to ask you all kinds of questions and they're going to have you repeat your email address and then they're going to have to repeat it back. It's cumbersome. It's so much easier to just have the customer type that into an online form and hit submit. So this is a case where I'm thankful for the system. Now we'll see how well the system works because I haven't heard anything and it's been a little bit of time, but you know, I wasn't expecting to hear back from anybody within 30 minutes or anything. So there is an invisible part of the system that as a customer, I'm completely unaware of. The systems that I am aware of are those that involved me having to input different information into their website. But now there's a system at play. I'm convinced there is a system at play, and we'll see how well it works, that I'm not privy to. That is, what is the time What happens once I've done all the registrations, and now I have submitted my trouble ticket with some brief explanation and a few other required fields, and I hit submit, and I immediately get a message on my screen that, you know, it's awaiting assignment. It's awaiting somebody who's going to get that trouble ticket and do something with it. I don't know what that system looks like for this company. I don't know what's the average wait time. I don't know that. Does this automatically hit somebody's inbox? Is there some general bucket that these all dump into and they're time stamped and people go in and, you know, we take the oldest one and work our way forward? I don't know. I don't know what that's. I have some ideas of what it might look like, but I really don't know. But somebody had to think about that. Here's what systems do for us. Systems allow us, and I'm going to use this word guardedly, or this phrase, autopilot. It allows us to sort of autopilot some things, particularly things that can be put on autopilot, like the process I just described. That process is infinitely more efficient for both the customer and the vendor to do that in an online fashion and let the customer provide as much information in a written form as they possibly can. It just works. It's infinitely better than somebody who would take the position, well, we want to give a higher touch experience. Well, you could give me a higher touch experience and it would absolutely frustrate the snot out of me if I had to spell my name, spell out my email address, repeat my phone number 4 times, explain to you my problem, and have you type it out. Just let me do that on my own. We've come to the point, well, we've long been to the point where we are as self-serving as we can be. Now, I'm old enough, many of you aren't, I'm old enough to remember when we called gas stations service stations. And we called them service stations because that's what they did. You didn't get out and pump your own gas. You know, Dad pulled in and you pulled over this little rubber hose that was laid in the driveway, and the minute you ran over it, you know, it dinged a bell and a couple of guys came out. If it was a chain like a Texaco station as opposed to an independently owned station, they came out and they had a uniform on. First guy asked you what kind of gas you wanted. It was all leaded gas then. Everything is unleaded now, thanks to, you know, EPA, and we're more careful about the environment. But you told the guy which grade of gasoline you wanted. The other guy, you know, he popped your hood. Well, okay, now you have to pop your hood from inside the car. Well, that's not how they used to be. Used to, you could pop the hood from the grill, front grill of the car, somewhere underneath the car, underneath the front bumper, somewhere that you could reach with your hand. He'd pop the hood. He'd check the oil. He'd check your windshield washer reservoir. He'd get out, you know, this little bottle of window cleaner. He'd spray your window and he would wipe it, you know, with these paper towels. And in some, this will blow your mind, in some of these service stations, they had vacuum cleaners and they would vacuum your car. Yeah, can you believe that? And gas was, you know, 17 cents a gallon. Ah, the good old days. And now it's self-serve. And not only is gasoline self-serve, go into a Home Depot, go into a Lowe's, and they will have it. They'll have probably 4 different stations where you just scan the stuff and put it in a bag and pay for it. And there's one human being that's kind of watching these 4 self-serve registers. Walmart. Neighborhood Walmarts, same thing. Now, it could be argued, well, that system's in place because they're being cheap. Well, okay, maybe, sort of. They don't have to pay a person to sit there and wait for somebody to come and check out. That's more efficient. But the fact of the matter is, we want it. We want to take control of our own destiny. We want to do what we want to do. Now, my wife loves those self-checkout kinds of things. I don't because, well, I don't do enough of it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And that not knowing what I'm supposed to do weighs more heavily than me standing in a line. I mean, that may not make any sense to you, but that's how it goes. So there, everywhere we look, there are systems. And sometimes systems, they don't work. And I just brought up one of the very big reasons why some systems don't work is people don't know exactly what they're supposed to do. Have you ever walked into a restaurant that you've never been in before and there's no clear signage? You're not sure, do we just go sit down? Do we walk up to, we see this counter over, do we walk up to that counter? Do we wait until somebody seats us? What are we supposed to do? Sure, we've all experienced that, and it's incredibly frustrating because we hate being in the position where we're not. What are we supposed to do? Will somebody just tell us what to do? It's not a good experience. Now, I've been involved in some businesses in the past where we had to construct a system that involves something just like that, customer coming in, and now what are they supposed to do? And I can tell you, I learned firsthand that the minute you confuse a customer, you're dead. You're just dead. I mean, even if they persist in finding out, you've amped up some frustration and you've really dropped the ball. So in your business, what are the processes? What are the systems? I think it's important for us to consider them. I think it's important for us to sometimes take inventory of them and not to just assume, well, it's working. One question that I commonly ask people is, are you regularly getting complaints? And are you regularly getting compliments? Are people regularly tooting your horn? And are people regularly saying, you know, this was disappointing? Or I'm mad about this. Or I sure didn't like that. Well, don't ignore those things. Pay close attention to those things. Now, I happen to be a guy who's kind of bent on this philosophy. If nobody's complaining at all, you may not have a high enough level of engagement with your clients, with your customers. There may be some reason. These people may just be leaving and not giving you any feedback at all, and that's not good. You want a complaint. Trust me. You want a complaint as opposed to just crickets chirping. Silence. And you're lulled into thinking everything's great. All the systems are working. Processes are in place. Everything is hunky-dory. No, meanwhile, you've got customer after customer after customer who's quietly leaving. They're just not saying anything. And it could be that you've not made it easy for them to say something. It could be that you've not made it easy enough for them to voice a complaint. That too can be a system. And you got to think about these things. Now, I'm a huge proponent of looking at things from the customer's point of view or the perspective's point of view. If you don't do that, if when you sit around and you architect something that works for you and you do it without seriously, first and foremost, thinking about how's this going to affect the person who I hope to do business with, the prospect, or the people that I am doing business with, my customers. You've got to put that before your own interest. You've got to put that before your own efficiencies and whatever you think, well, you know, okay, this works for me. Question, does it work for the customer? Does it work for the prospect? And if it does not, then you better change it. There's a fundamental rule that has always existed in retail. And in some cases, it can't be avoided. For instance, in the jewelry business, go to a jewelry store and what you're going to see are yards and yards of glass cases. Stuff is under lock and key in a glass case. Why? Well, this stuff's expensive. They don't want just anybody walking off with it. It's under lock and key, and it's under a glass case. It's under a glass case so you can see it. It's under a locked glass case so that it requires help. You can't go. If there is one, I haven't seen it. Boy, this would be a novel business, wouldn't it? Self-service jewelry store. Now, you're probably not going to see that. And I suspect that if you did see one, they would not be in business very long because their inventory would walk off. But other than, and guns, other than some specific kinds of products for obvious reasons, the generic rule in retail is if you don't want to sell it, put it in a glass case. Why? Well, because we like to touch stuff. We like to pick stuff up. We like to check stuff out. Well, okay, we've got to see a human. Kind of funny, isn't it? The times that we gripe about voicemail and we gripe about getting into that voicemail sequence at a company because they've got a system in place and it involves, okay, hit this number. Now, okay, enter that number. And okay, now enter your 4-digit PIN number. Okay, now enter your home phone number. And we get frustrated with all that. We just give us a human. But then you go to a store and there's something behind a glass case and you really would like to see it, but you know what you're thinking. I don't want to have to call them over here and have them show it to me and have to listen to them tell me how great it is. And we just can't win for losing, can we? Well, this is how we're wired, okay? We want what we want when we want it, and sometimes we're not even sure what we want. We know we just don't want this. It's kind of that... Have you seen this? They're bumper stickers. Maybe they're T-shirts. I mean, it's pretty funny. You know, I don't know where I want to be, but I don't want to be here. Or I don't know what I want, but this ain't it. That kind of a sentiment. Well, we've all felt that way. You know, I'm unhappy. Well, what are you unhappy with? What do you want? I don't know, but this isn't it. Well, where do you want to be? I don't know, but not here. Well, when? Well, I don't know when, but not now. We get ornery. We get, and some of us are just bent a bit more ornery than others, I suspect. And that's okay. That's okay. Look at the systems that exist in your business, and more appropriately, I guess, if you've got systems already in place, I'm absolutely a proponent of putting those under a microscope. I'm a rather big fan of the whole notion of putting things on trial for their life. I've used that phraseology a lot throughout my career. Just, you know, put it on trial for its life. Pretend it's a capital case. It's a death penalty case. Does it hold up? Is it doing what it's supposed to do? Is it serving you? Is it serving, and the only way it can serve you is if it's serving your customers. If your prospects and your customers are deriving the benefit from it that they should, and let's hope the benefit that you want, check it out and make sure. Yeah, that means if you've got this voicemail sequence, try it. Don't just try it once and then forget about it and assume, well, it's okay. It worked 6 months ago. I'm sure it's still... No, try it on a regular basis, sporadically, randomly. Do you have an email sequence? Do you have an autoresponder sequence that works? You know, who among us hasn't figured out, you know, we set something up and we thought everything was fine. We didn't test it. And nobody says anything, but then we go back and we look and we figure it out and we figure out, you know, man, people have been getting, when people opt in, for instance, they've been getting the wrong welcome message. You know, what happened to this one that I crafted? And you go and you find it and you find that it's in draft mode. That ever happened to you? My hand's in the air. That's a system. You got to make sure that these things are working properly, and then you got to make sure that they continue to work properly. Just because it's autopilot doesn't mean you do it once and then you forget about it. You do it once, you test it, you make sure it's working properly, and then you periodically, randomly, sporadically test it again. Make sure it's still working. Make sure something didn't happen along the way and it broke, but you don't know it. So that's kind of first and foremost. Check what you've already got in place. Now, do you have things in place that just, now that you look at it, they just seem stupid? I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a business in kind of a turnaround project. And one of the first things that I tend to do is I tend to look at, okay, what are the systems that are in the internal systems? Let's look at how we're serving each other in the company. And so you'll look at this particular group over here that's in the company, and they're producing a variety of different forms and surveys and logs and all kinds of paperwork, right? Internal stuff. And then you go over and you visit a couple of other departments, and well, they've got their own. And you take a tally of all of this, and before you know it, you've got dozens and dozens of internal things that if they get bottlenecked anywhere along the line, everything just stops. Everything just drops. Well, that's a system. Now, in my opinion, that's a broken system. Are there, just take a simple inventory of these kinds of things that exist in your company. These things that happen without you having to sit down and manually do it. Again, it could be email autoresponder. It could be voicemail. It could be a variety of different online tools or even offline things that you have set up. It could be things that you've got a virtual assistant trying to help you with, a physical, you know, here they are sitting across from me, an assistant doing. Anything and everything, just take inventory of them. I'm going to encourage you, are they all necessary? Because more often than not, what I find is I find some small business people who've set something in motion, and it, in many, many, many cases, it was sparked by a knee-jerk reaction. We had a specific problem, and in some heat of the moment, emotion, highly charged emotional state, we implemented something that we believed would fix it. And we did that 4 years ago. Everybody is still doing it. It's cumbersome. And nobody really knows why they're doing it anymore, because the problem that it fixed, well, later on something else happened in our flow and our internal stuff. And that problem isn't even on the radar anymore. But still, we're still filling out this form. We're still filling out this form in triplicate, and we're forwarding it on to somebody else. I mean, there's lots of businesses, folks, that are guilty of that. Well, eliminate all that. So if you've got a process or a system that's antiquated, that's outdated, stop it. Just stop it. Kick it to the curb. I mean, spend your time and everybody else's time, if you've got employees that are doing this stuff or a VA, kick it to the curb. So put every system, every process on trial for its life. It either is going to stand the test of the trial, and you're going to be able to properly defend it and say, "It's, man, we got to have this. This is doing us some great stuff." Or, man, nobody can even remember why we're doing this anymore. Nobody gets it. Nobody looks at it. It serves no useful purpose. Death penalty. Throw it up on the table, stick the needle in its arm, and kill it. Now, what about some things? The third group would be, okay, are there things that we haven't systemized, things that we don't have any processes in place, but boy, if we did, it could make a world of difference. And usually these tend to be those kinds of things where we feel that stuff's just, it's slipping through the cracks. I mean, that's the vernacular that we use. It's slipping through the cracks. It's hitting the floor. It's getting past us. We're just not able to pay close attention to it because we don't have some systems in place to help us focus our attention on it in a timely way. The manufacturer that I just described and me having to do this trouble ticket, if they were to have a system in place where customers simply called an 800 number, left a voicemail along with a variety of information, and maybe they would even do it through phone prompts or through keyboard touch key interaction on a phone. But think about how cumbersome that process would be, simply to retrieve that to make sure that not a single one slipped through the cracks. Well, it'd be horrific. At least with this online, filling out an online form and hitting submit, you would hope to think every time somebody hits submit, they've captured it. Now they know they've got something they've got to deal with. So many times in our small businesses, we have a variety of different things that come up. We don't even know we have to deal with it. We get an email that we don't see. We get an email that may, for whatever reason, end up in a junk folder, in a spam folder. We never saw it. A customer reaches out to touch us. A prospect reach out to touch, and we don't feel the touch. Well, if as a small business owner, you're not worried about the touches that you don't feel, you should be. That represents business. That represents potential. That represents opportunity for us. And it's urgent. It's urgent that anytime somebody reaches out to touch us, whether by email, voicemail, phone, text, however they choose to do it, that we feel it. Hey, somebody touched me. I know somebody touched me, and I need to now do something with it. Many of those things can be automated to the extent that at the very least, you should be able to say, hey, you there, I know you touched me. I'm just letting you know that I know you touched me, and I'm going to get back with you. Just, you know, give me a little bit of time. Whatever it is that you say. One of the number one complaints that you will hear from customers in every sector of business, lack of communication. Person hires somebody to come into their house, do some work, exterior work, interior work, doesn't matter, and the job's wrapped up, and the person hands you an invoice, and the customer looks at this invoice and says, what? I wasn't expecting it to be that much. And, you know, maybe the oafish contractor, well, you know, it's just how much it is. Well, he would have been so much better served if at some point in the process he would have said, you know, we told you it would kind of be in this ballpark, but now that we've unearthed the problem, it's going to be more. It's going to be this much more, potentially. Well, now when we're presented with the invoice, hey, you told us it was going to be more. We expected it to be more. No shock here. So many times I find businesses that operate on a daily basis perfectly willing to surprise their customers. Here's the rule of thumb for your business. All surprises to the customer, all surprises to the prospect should be good ones. There should be no. That means zero. There should be no under any circumstances at any time ever should there be bad surprises. Surprise, it's going to cost you twice as much as I told you it was going to. Here's the bill. No, that cannot happen. And the only way that you eliminate that is you've got to clearly communicate what's happening, what's going on, any cost, you know, changes, any price changes. When's the last time you talked to somebody or you had it happen to you that a workman, for instance, or anything, just think of any kind of an invoice that you get handed. You're not really, you've got an idea, but you're not exactly, you know, maybe you went and you had your car repaired and they said, listen, this is going to be about $400. And they come to you and it's four and a quarter. Okay, well, maybe no big deal. But when's the last time that you had it happen where they say, it's going to be about $400. And they come to you and they hand you a bill for $200 and they say, you know, we got to looking at it and we didn't need this part and that part and this other, you know, man, you can go another 30,000 miles before you need a full with that. So here's the work we did. It was only $200. I mean, when does that, you're right. It never happens. I advise companies quite regularly. Now, don't be dishonest about this. But we have these opportunities sometimes in our businesses where we tell somebody, here's what that project will cost. Here's what that work will cost. And we get in and we realize, okay, it's not quite as I saw it. It's not going to be as extensive perhaps as I thought. There's really no need for me to charge that. I mean, wouldn't a customer just absolutely roll over and die if you presented them with a $200 invoice when they were expecting it to be four? Now, I know for some of you that sounds like just heresy. I'm telling you to do it. I'm telling you when there are opportunities for you to provide the value that you want to provide for the customer, you can absolutely perfectly make the customer happy, and you can dazzle them because you can say to them, you know, I thought it was going to involve this, that, and the other, and once I got in here, it really didn't involve this or that. It did involve the other. But as a result, I can, you know, I saved you half the, it was half price. And you're taken care of. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? Sure, it would be awesome. Start doing it. Make that part of your system. Make that part of your process. I think about all these things. I'm a huge proponent of building in systems, but I'm a bigger proponent of making sure that they work. And if they don't work, jettison them. Get them out of the way. Sometimes they need to be replaced. Sometimes they just need to be kicked to the curb and you don't need to have one to begin with. Totally up to you. Hope that helps. Send me some feedback. Let me know what systems are working in your business. Do you have systems that are just, man, you're proud as punch of? Do you have others that you're like, man, alive, what were we thinking? This was just the stupidest thing in the world. I can't believe that we did this. It was crazy, insane that I did it. Sure, it's happened to us all. We've all lost our minds from time to time. That's okay. It happens. Just fix it. Don't leave it broken. Hey, my name is Randy Cantrell. The website is Bula Network. That's BULANetwork.com. I'd love for you to subscribe to the podcast. You can do that through your RSS feed. Click that orange RSS icon. Or, better yet, go to iTunes. You can click that iTunes icon over on the right-hand side of the website and subscribe. I'd love to have your feedback over there. One brave soul has left me some feedback so far. I mean, I'm pushing 100 episodes here. Clearly have not done a good job of promoting myself. Maybe I'll get better at that. No, it's not that I'm unafraid. I'm kidding me. I mean, sales and marketing, that's in my wheelhouse. It's just, I haven't. Put it at that. I'll talk about that in a future show. We'll talk about self-promotion. I do encounter quite a few of you that have problems with it. Some psychologically, you're just kind of adverse to it. Others just don't know how to go about it. I will freely tell you, I am of the school of thought, soft sell. Soft sell, soft sell, soft sell. I'm rather put off by the super aggressive, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. Hey, let me tell you today to buy my stuff. And then tomorrow, I'm going to tell you again to buy my stuff. And then, hey, next week, you know what I'm going to tell you? Buy more of my stuff. Yeah, those people kind of are off-putting. Well, you know, there is a happy medium. It's not like you got to be one extreme or the other. I would love for you to, in addition to subscribing to the podcast, in addition, I know, one call to action. Yeah, I break that rule. In addition to leaving a comment at iTunes, plug your email address in there. Right below the box, it says 15 obstacles to success. It's how the show started, asking you to do that. Well, I'm going to ask you again. No, I'm not going to fill your inbox with stuff, with garbage. I don't do that. You know me. This is good stuff, kids. Good stuff. BulaNetwork.com. My name, Randy Cantrell. City of origin is Dallas, Texas. This is the Yellow Studio. Hey, next time it'll be a numbered episode. See ya.